Welcome back to the Life on Target podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Spearing, bringing you part three of my Theology of Violence series as I go back through a lot of my material in the different classes and workshops and articles and things that I've written over the last couple of years. I realized that I started way back in episode 15 talking about a theology of violence that was about yourself, having dominion over yourself first. And then I moved on. So that's episode 15, Theology of Violence, Meekness, Protection, Self-Defense in the Christian Life. So then I moved on to episode 17 and talked about family leadership. And I kind of am working in concentric rings. And I'll probably post this graphic in the show notes located at spearing.co to help you visualize this a little bit. But kind of working first on yourself, dominion over yourself, then how that works out in the family. I talked about that in episode 17. Today, I'm talking about how that works itself out in the church. So if as a man or woman of God, you are leading yourself well, you are taking dominion over and responsibility for your sin, and then filling your role in the family, as a wife leading your home and managing your home, you're being submissive to your husband cherishing you, serving, sacrificing like Christ did for his church, and how that hierarchy in husband and wife, but also that being yoked together, building a household together, forms this essential building block of society. And then the next step is to integrate into your family, into a family of families, which is essentially I was talking to a friend of mine that is fluent in Hebrew and reads the Bible in Hebrew and is able to draw out a lot of things from Scripture that we miss in the translated versions of the Bible, specifically the church being a family of families. And we have a saying here at church that water is thicker than blood, and in a sense that our church ties oftentimes end up being a more thickly bonded or stronger bond than sometimes the biological family, because we have been baptized, we have given vows to build each other up, to set an example before each other's children as to how to faithfully live the Christian life so as not to cause little ones to stumble. And that's a huge thing for me as I am attending church faithfully. I found the church, like Michael Foster said, that has masculine men in it, that has elders and deacons that are real men, that there is true spiritual leadership happening at a family level and then even in a corporate level with the elders and the pastors. Dozens and dozens of families walking out the Christian life sincerely and loving their wives well and to be in fellowship. I think we have 120-ish kids, 14 and under. Their just desire to be with their friends, essentially their family. We are hanging out double-digit hours a week together. We are encouraging each other. We are having many opportunities to apologize to each other, to overlook sin without making a big deal of it, where there's bitterness and things that are opportunities for bitterness, to decide, nope, you don't get a foothold here. We're going to overlook that. We understand that Christ has forgiven us, and so we're going to forgive you as often as it takes. We're just not going to let bitterness take root. Those of us that are really, truly experiencing church at the greatest level by doing this. So I wanted to just kind of brush over a couple statistics here, specifically should hit home for you fathers. So this is at nickcaddy.org, according to the data collected by Promise Keepers and Baptist Press, if a father does not go to church, even if his wife does, Only one in 50, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. If a father does go regularly, regardless of what the mother does, between two-thirds and three-quarters of their children will attend church as adults. And that's significant when you think about it. 2% will go to church as adults. When both parents attend Sunday school, in addition to Sunday service, 72% of their children attend Sunday school when they grow, when they're grown. So, you know, my wife and I were talking about this earlier this week, that 72% attending Sunday school, and a way that we take that is additional church participation, not just showing up, you know, 5 minutes late for Sunday morning service and then ducking out the back door as fast as possible, because we got those in our church, and I grieve for them. They're missing out. But somebody who's showing up for Sunday school, for choir, coming in midweek prayer meeting, that's that there, 72% of the children will continue that when they grow up. When only the father attends Sunday school, 55% of the children attend when they're grown. When only the mother attends Sunday school, 15% of children attend when they're grown. And when neither parent attends Sunday school, only 6% of their children will attend when grown. It's just staggering. And I would guess that 72% is way higher if there's genuine faith there. I bet you that number gets up into the 80s and 90% when they're really seeing their parents genuinely, both parents genuinely walk out their faith. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. It's a little bit longer. We can probably expound upon that a little bit when I get finished. But the very condition of having friends is that we should want something else besides friends. Where the truthful answer to the question, do you see the same truth, would be, I see nothing and I don't care about the truth. I only want a friend. No friendship can arise, though affection, of course, may. There would be nothing for the friendship to be about. The friendship must be about something, even if it were only an enthusiasm for dominoes or white mice. Those who have nothing can share nothing. Those who are going nowhere can have no fellow travelers. You know, that last sentence about having no fellow travelers if you're going nowhere, that just, I think that sums up the people that will kind of show up to church and be like, oh, this is clicky. Nobody invites me over. I miss a Sunday here and there when there's a good football game, but just nobody invites me over. Well, how come the church isn't serving me? How come whatever? And when those of us that have Christ, that have the scripture as being the infallible word of God and believing that it affects all of life, that Christ is Lord of all or not Lord at all, when we believe that he's Lord of all, we have this truth that, according to C.S. Lewis, is the foundation for friendship, deep friendship, to grow. Looking at Hebrews 3:13, we see, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Put on, then, as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Corinthians 3:12-17. Obviously, we know the passage about making sure that we are intent on removing the log from our own eye before we go and remove the speck from our brother's, but that is also part of it. We eventually have to move to admonishing each other. And certain people are not going to be receptive to this at all. But those that are truly seeking to conform their life towards the example set by Jesus are going to be the kind of people that are excited when sin is illuminated and they have an opportunity to put it to death. Ephesians 5:11, take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. That is what being in the church does. It exposes the unfruitful things in your life. It unites you with other believers in a way that you can corporately and as a group expose darkness together. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth in a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. We read that in 1 Peter 1:22, and then finally, Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another, build one another up, just as you are doing. So I'm going to close this episode out with a admonition to those of you that are not in a church every week, that are not seeking out regular fellowship throughout the week with other believers that can show you your sin, that can love you in spite of your sin, and that are providing examples to you and your children of what godly life looks like. What are you waiting for? Find a church. Go there. If you can't find one where you are, move. Come to Southern Pines. Send me a message. We'll get you linked in with a group of people here. We'll help you move. I actually got a buddy that sold everything in Michigan and is on his way here with his RV, and his wife is expecting their fifth child. They'll be joining our church. He came down and visited a couple weeks back, and they sold everything and they're moving here. If this is you and you aren't able to find a place to worship, I would encourage you to look harder, and then I would encourage you to consider moving, or maybe go listen to the Larson Hicks episode where we talk about planting a church. Maybe that's what you're called to do, to actually find an established church that is geographically close to you that will help provide leadership and plant one and start, because there's lots of work to do out there. You can't, I sent a tweet out this last week about you can't save the world by yourself, so start building relationship with those in the church, and that's what we're doing here, and I hope that, you're doing that now. I hope that this gives you some ideas. One of the ways that the men in our church are doing it is we just started a group text. We're using Signal. There's a lot of different apps out there. We are sending out devotions or cutting up or linking up times to meet and things like that. It can be a little bit crazy. It can be a lot of texts coming in. There can be some times to get annoyed, but that's when you cover it up with love, and there's just opportunity to continue to stay lashed in with other men in the church. And I think I've said it on other episodes that there's some of the women in the church have remarked that they're jealous of how tight the guys are and how awesome of a relationship we are. And I want to encourage you out there that if you're looking around and you don't have people, you're not hanging out with the right group of people. There's groups of people, hundreds of people that are optimistic, that are feasting, that have joy, that are doing real Christian life together and fellowshipping and sharing food and singing psalms together and love, allowing love to cover up their sins, encouraging each other and moving towards Christ and bringing this earth into submission, filling the earth and subduing it. So find the group of people, continue to do it all the more, figure out ways to go further up and further in, as it says in the last battle, and get it done. As always, have a good one.